Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush, Friday Filmmaker Edition, Alexander Payne Edition. And you know what that means.
Whoop.
I have a small bird in here.
Tweet, tweet.
Tweet-a-dee-a-dee-a-dee. My wife, Emily. Say hello.
Hi.
Everyone knows you by now.
Happy to be back.
So even though we're not doing Sideways, we're drinking wine again.
Because that's what we do.
Because we're us. And we should make this a regular thing and shout out, you know, the places, because this is some really good Pinot.
I'm super into this.
This
idea.
Is a 2016 Walter Hansel from the Hansel Family Vineyards in Russian River Valley, North Slope Vineyard Pinot Noir.
It's a bit of a splurge, and it is a lovely bottle of wine.
Wow. And we were just remarking, we haven't had Pinot in it. We're all in the cabs and zins.
Zins, basically, yeah. I've like, you know.
Boy, that is
good. I keep
good.
Going deeper and deeper, and it's hard to go back. But I forget that Pinots have all of this, like, they are so varying within the varietal, which is not usually the case.
It's good. I think the key for us is to have a Pinot that packs a little bit of a punch.
Yeah.
Because they can be a little lighter.
Yeah. And sometimes
and
like those are really lovely, too.
Yeah, but this is, I'd say, medium to full-bodied.
Yeah, and super full-bodied.
I give it 5 grapes.
Gorgeous. 5 grapes. Is that our rating system?
Sure, why not?
5 clinks.
When Noel and I do our rare crush to judgments, we give it 1 out of 5 thumbs.
Oh, okay.
Instead of thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah, just total thumbs.
Just total thumbs.
Yeah, in whatever direction they're pointing.
Because that's what we do. So, oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's all right. I had some trivia in here and it didn't save it.
Oh, I was going to say you don't have me at home to email you the document that you need 5 minutes before you go. You start recording.
Yeah, that's something that happens here, everyone. Emily will get a text. Are you still at home? Go on my computer.
Yeah.
Email me the thing.
And I'm like, the one that you were working on 30 seconds before you left, you
and
forgot
I'm sure everyone's
to send
like,
it to you.
Get on the cloud, man.
Right.
What's your deal? I'll just look up the trivia later because it was some kind of interesting stuff. And I remember it anyway.
You do have a mind for trivia.
So,
if you guys ever have a chance to play trivia with Chuck, get on his team.
Are you kidding me?
He's got a great mind.
These people live to be on my trivia team.
Well, I mean, pat yourself on the back.
Well, no, it's because it's fun.
I'm saying they could play against you, but he's, you know.
Take me down?
No, I'm – whatever. Hashtag missing the point.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah.
As usual. Keep drinking.
Super clicking, yeah.
Keep drinking, lady. So we did Election in our Alexander Payne oeuvre from 1999, written by Alexander Payne and his writing partner Jim Taylor from a novel. Who was the guy's name? Do you remember?
No.
It was a novel. And a guy apparently wrote this novel after the George W. Bush-Al Gore election.
Oh.
And he was depressed and he wanted to write something. And so he had an idea for a student council election.
Right.
Which
Well, you told me when we did Sideways that all of his screenplays were based on books, which I had not realized.
Yeah. Tom Perrotta wrote the 1998 titular novel. Starring Matthew Broderick, of course. Yeah.
Is that in quotes?
No. You know what titular means.
I do, but I've never heard it come out of your mouth.
It means it's titillating.
Yes, thank you.
Reese Witherspoon, who got a Golden Globe nomination for this. I did not know that.
I don't think I realized that either. She was
so good.
So good.
Boy. I mean, she's great anyway.
Well, she was a baby.
But I forgot how, like, great she was when she was a kid.
Yeah, she was great.
She looked 16, but she was how old?
24, I think, if my math is correct. 23 or 24.
Yeah, Reese.
23 when they made it, obviously, because it's usually made the year before.
Reese as Tracy Enid Flick.
Tracy Enid Flick.
That's one of the things I love about this movie. I feel like there's nothing wasted in this movie, like, as far as joke mining for jokes.
Yeah.
Like to make her middle name Enid.
Yeah, of course.
Like, why not? Because you can get one more laugh at graduation.
Yeah. Well, and she drops it in there when that's when she shows up to vote. Tracy Enid Flick. And we're like, of course, her middle name is Enid.
Pick Flick. shot in Omaha, Nebraska, of course, which is Payne's stomping grounds. And he discovered Chris Klein for this movie and launched his career. Chris Klein was a high school student in Omaha.
Okay, I'm kind of now remembering that.
And they sent him to Alexander Payne, and he said that he had been at a bunch of plays in community theater. So it's not like he had never acted before, but this was his first film.
He was great. And I forgot that piece of information. Well, important to mention, this was 1998.
99, I think shot at 98.
It was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Which, like—
crazy.
Yeah. I can't even get my mind around that gap of time because—
no. Because this isn't an oldie. It doesn't feel like.
Yeah, not at all.
That means we're oldies.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chris Klein, I don't know about him as an actor in general. But
well, he went on to do American Pie, right? Wasn't that
his
kind
which
of...
I think was released later this year. So I think he like immediately started getting work.
Yeah. Well,
but he's not that great of an actor, but he's so good in this.
He was great in this. He played that lovable, dumb puppy.
Yeah.
Like to a T.
Oh, man. I mean, the most virtuous character in the movie
was him.
Yeah, I mean, he's the moral center,
which is really funny. But when he was laying in bed praying and he prayed for his sister, basically, like, I mean, you're just like, you sweet guy.
Thank you for what I'm told is an
a large penis.
Yeah, what I'm told is a large penis.
And that's
a great scene when they all three have their prayers to God. And I didn't notice this, but in the trivia, they all three have faux Tiffany lamps by their bedside.
Oh, I didn't notice that either. Nice.
It's a nice little production nod.
Well, which is a great way to start this because the mundane sprinkler shot at this high school, like, you know, like green space, whatever it was. And it's just
And you hear that before. It's just a black screen. Yeah. And you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then when you see it, that's just – there's something about Alexander Payne. He captures the everyday and the mundane.
The mundane,
and
yeah.
the normal better than anybody else.
Well, because it's still – there's like kind of – it's like comedic almost because it's like what's great about that. But it's like the framing is usually like, you know, the sprinkler was – right in the middle of the frame, and I'm not going to do justice by trying.
Well, and it was right at like right behind the sprinkler, like the camera was sitting on the ground, so you get that great shot of the field and everyone. Just the sound of those sprinklers, the ones that
it's very reminiscent.
Yeah, that go across the field and on the way back. So great,
but it was just what a funny choice. And this was early on in his career too, right? Like so, there was before. Was this his second movie?
Yeah, this followed Citizen Ruth.
Yeah.
Which, I can't wait to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've gone all out of order. But it's funny to go from, like, Sideways, which was – that was 10 years ago, right?
More than that, I think.
Backwards. Just, you know, like in his storytelling and, like, what he focuses on. But he's still – and then right into Matthew Broderick walking into the crappy teacher's lounge. Like, there is nothing sexy about this teacher's lounge at all. It's so – there's even, like – I noticed there was like a piece of industrial machinery like crammed in the corner next to the refrigerator. You know, it's like it just is so plain and there's nothing art department.
Well, but it is though.
About
That's
it.
The beauty of
well,
it.
Well, yes, it's there's extra art department, but what you would
layer.
Normally life layer. Yes, he invented the life layer as far as he life layered the life layer.
Yeah, he double layered.
Not to be confused with the mind flayer.
Oh, people are so happy. Little Stranger Things nod. So they introduce – and, you know, I always go on and on in the show about the efficiency of character introductions and, like, telling you all you need to know. And it's Broderick working out at first, and then he goes through the school and in that, like you said, the teacher's lounge.
Yeah. Well, he's getting ready in the gym, like the gym locker room, basically.
The gym locker room.
Yeah, which is equally grim.
And I need to say this. This is so silly. But anytime I see Matthew Broderick running, anytime I see him in a shower, and anytime I see him doing his hair, I can only think of Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. But I will say I remember this was – I don't know – I can't remember what he did between Ferris and this, but it – if it was it a lot?
I mean, this was 99. Ferris Bueller's Day Off was like 86 or something.
I know, but I remember seeing him and thinking, oh my God, Matthew Broderick is old. He's our age, or he's a little bit older.
He's a little bit older.
But compared to the Ferris, I guess I don't remember, like, there wasn't a lot of watching him grow up. And then he's like this kind of, you know, like he all
of
a sudden
he looks
it's like
the same, too. That's
well, but
part
he's a baby
problem.
Compared to how he looks now. It's just funny at the time I was thinking this is old Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. Cause what, no, totally. But now, like, what was he just in that we saw?
Oh, he was
the therapist.
Better Things.
Right.
Yeah.
The therapist to Sam for a little while.
Which now he looks like a grandpa.
Well,
his age.
He finally
all
went gray after like 100 years.
He doesn't really look like a grandpa. He still has a baby face.
And so then they introduce Tracy Flick in the same manner. And she's just so, from the very beginning, she's organizing her clipboards and everything to get her campaign signatures.
Well, and there's a face, this pursing of the lips, yeah. this like crisp quality that in the which she speaks.
Yeah.
And like she flares her nostrils a lot, which uh-huh. kind of makes her nose look really angular. Like it's this – she just nailed that character of this like hyper – organized, competitive, competent person.
Uh-huh.
Like,
but
you don't want to go rounds. Well, yeah, because
that's the whole thing of this movie is like it really says a lot about popularity and friendship because Paul's like the most popular kid in school. He's dumb as a rock.
But he's also really sweet and generous and giving.
Exactly.
And she's motivated. Yeah. Like, her ambition has kept her from even like focusing on friendships. Like,
I know.
That's just not even, that's not on her to-do list.
And she's called bitch. Cunt. Remember?
I know. I will say yes.
At the end,
yeah,
Tammy calls her a cunt.
Tammy, yeah. But it, sidebar, I was thinking about the frequent use of bitch in this movie.
I know.
And it jarred me every time because that's just like, that doesn't.
This dated, I mean, there are a few things in this movie that you probably wouldn't get away with.
Especially
today.
Men calling young girls bitches.
Yeah, the principal called her that behind
I know.
Closed doors.
It was like that just.
That little bitch Tracy Flick.
I know.
I was like, oh my God, you could never say
my
that.
My ears.
I know.
Really, it did kind of make me like. Just shudder a little bit.
But, I mean, I think that's exactly what went on behind closed doors
in schools. Of course.
Please,
it still does, but it's just like it's not kosher.
I bet not as much because a principal at least today would be scared to say that in front of somebody.
Yeah. Let's hope.
And there was something about my my student council experience. You know, I – as you know, but I'm not sure – I think the listeners know this stuff. But I was – that was my jam. I was athletic but not good enough to be on like – we had really great varsity sports teams. I wasn't good enough to be on those.
Varsity volleyball.
So I know you were fucking varsity volleyball and softball and all that stuff.
I wasn't varsity softball.
But I did student government and ran and was the vice president of student council. And it was great. I had a great time. It was really, really fun. And this just – I don't know. I think it kind of spoke to me partially because of that.
Sure. I mean, I wasn't involved in
I did those elections and I hung those banners and painted those things in the garage and like hung them up.
I voted in those.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know if how much of the source material really nailed it from the book and how much it was just Alexander Payne and Jim Taylor and the art department, but they just really
Well, I remember those paints and those big like rolls of colored paper for because that's what all of like the homecoming, all the dances went up on those, pep rallies or whatever.
Heaven
so that was a thing,
And all the dumb, the little slogans like you Betzler, vote Metzler, you know, those were Paul's posters.
Yeah.
Pick flick. Jinx. And then at the very beginning of the film, there's a bit of a – like the gun goes – you see the gun in Act 1, you know it's going to go off in Act 3. But in this case, the gun is spilled Chinese food on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't even know it. If you the first time you see this movie, you just see Matthew Broderick spill the Chinese food and you see the
But unintentionally,
the
it wasn't an act of aggression.
I know.
Like he wasn't
and
even –
he
like,
may have even cleaned it up.
You know he cleaned it up. Of course he did. But the janitor was like, oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah. The janitor who was a real high school janitor, by the way.
Of course he was. He looked like – well, he looked like Freddy Krueger, actually, who was a high school janitor.
Freddy Krueger.
Wasn't
he had like glasses. He looked like a different kind of serial killer.
I saw some Freddy Krueger in that.
But that is the thing that ends up being his undoing, and it happens right there in like the first 5 minutes. Like that is the thing that screws him in the end, is that janitor finding those votes in the trash can.
But again, that to me was such a silly kind of like comeback because obviously Matthew Broderick
cleaned up. I think it was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, of course it was, which everything in an Alexander Payne movie was. But yes, you're right.
True.
That is the thing that ended up putting the nail in his coffin.
And Alexander Payne said he was interested in a movie with multiple voiceovers and multiple perspectives.
Sure.
And I don't think it ever really hit me as hard and as many times as we've seen this, like – every single one of the main characters has their own
relationship with
– and they're all telling the story as a recollection. So it's Tracy, it's Matthew Broderick, it's Tammy, and it's Paul. And it's almost, it sounds like they're almost being deposed or something because they're telling the story of what happened back then.
I never thought about that. Like that. I guess
really
I don't have that. I'm just
cool.
picturing the like the prayers to Jesus. And
oh,
you know,
yeah. It's like this great like voiceover from the future of them like recounting what happened.
Yeah.
It like – you know, I don't know how it all started with that darn student council election.
Yeah, his at least too, because his life went from, you know, picture book to moving to a completely different city.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk about freeze frames for a minute.
Oh, they're brilliant.
Very important in this movie.
Yeah, and what's so great is because it's always on Tracy Flick when McAllister.
Yeah, Mr.
When
M.
Mr. M's talking about her.
Right.
And then, like, making a judgment on her usually.
Yeah.
And the freeze frame was kind of perfect for all of that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that first one where she's – this is where it's like, how do you describe it? With, like, her lip up. It's a very unattractive pose.
Yeah, she's right in the middle of, like, explaining something in class.
Which she'd already irritated the shit out of him by, like – she was like the pick me student. And he was, like – kept trying not to pick her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hot in here. I'm
it's
over
hot
here.
As shit in here.
A little bit.
I'm like sweating.
But yeah, so he then begrudgingly picked her and then just suffered while she talked. So the freeze frame on her kind of like annoying know-it-all face was pretty great.
That says it all too about their relationship, because you can tell right away that she annoys him at the very least.
He tolerates her.
Yeah.
But then we also find out that this is probably exacerbated by the next reveal. Yes.
We're not going to reveal it like that. But, yeah, that she has been having an affair with
– Dave Novotny.
Dave Novotny, his colleague.
And best friend.
Yeah, best friend.
Yeah.
And his wife is best friends. They're all best friends together.
Yeah.
And the
– Are you going to say it?
No, I'm not going to say it. You definitely couldn't get away with it. But the way that is revealed is so fucking funny.
It's pretty,
And you can never do it even as a joke today, I don't think.
No. It's too horrifying because she's a minor, for the love of God.
Yes, and the whole time – and he has that one line. He's like, he's lucky he didn't end up in jail.
Yeah.
And we're like, he should totally be in jail.
Yes, and he would be in jail under current – under 2019
like if,
statutes.
I mean, I guess Colleen Camp, who plays – the great Colleen Camp, who plays Mrs. Flick.
Yeah.
Or Ms. Flick.
Mama Flick.
Mama Flick. She clearly doesn't know about it because she would have had him arrested.
No, she did –
She didn't find out about the affair.
Oh, you know what? It's funny because in my mind, when he was reading that the crybaby, or what'd she call him, if he hadn't become such a mushy.
Oh, if certain people.
If certain people hadn't gotten so mushy. And he wrote her that silly card, like, you know, God. That's like so.
We love each other.
I know. He's so juvenile. He's like gone off on this juvenile fantasy with this high school.
I know.
Motivated high school girl. It's so distressing.
What's the great line? He said, you know, she wants to read my novel. He goes, you haven't written it yet. He goes, but she wants
me. She makes me want to write my novel. Yeah.
No, she wants me to write it so
she can read
it.
Which is like, you just picture your wife rolling her eyes Jesus
God.
Christ with your novel, buddy.
It's terrible. And it's so creepy. Like, she thinks they're in love. He thinks they're in love. They're in an old man band together, which that for in itself is just great. Them in the basement doing Foxy Lady.
Yeah. Well, but what's interesting is she feels seen by him. He's just happy he's having hot sex with a young girl. And
she has no friends. Like, she has a connection at school now.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. For her, she said, I just miss our talks. For him, it was like, I'm in love with her because I'm having sex with a young girl who worships me and wants to read my novel.
Yeah.
So, like, from her standpoint, you can see where this happened. From his, you're like, hey, Lech.
Right. And he puts on Three Times a Lady by the Condor.
Oh, God.
And, like, leads her into the room.
That is cringy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's cringy anyways because of what's happening, but,
Alexander Payne can play that for laughs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because it was hysterical because what a, like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're just, like, humiliated for him.
Tracy and I are totally, totally in love. And Matthew Broderick right after that says, I'm only going to say this once. What you're doing is really, really wrong. Like, he just can't believe, like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
So you think, too, and then, like, the morals and ethics part, you know, like.
Well, yeah, that's a big – I'm glad you brought that up. That's a big part of the movie.
Yes, and it's funny because –
That's the theme of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. But so, like, so for this, he is morally and ethically opposed to this event.
Mm-hmm.
But then he starts – you know, it's a very slippery slope. Like, once you make one – like, how one decision leads to the next, and then suddenly you're, like, this person that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah. Yeah, they – I mean – if you haven't seen the movie in a while, they had this great scene early on
That was the Tracy Flick freeze
frame.
Yeah,
when she was trying to volunteer for the answer, it was the definition and the difference between morals and ethics in like a civics class or something.
I love the way all those kids answer, too, because it is like a real civics class. Like, you know, like when the thing happens. Yeah.
Alexander Payne is just the master of real.
Yeah.
And then the whole movie, though, that's what the whole movie is. It's the theme of the film.
Yeah.
Because every single character, their morals and their ethics are tested, and they're defined by whether or not they what they do, whether they did the wrong thing or not.
Yep.
And Chris Klein always does the right thing.
He does always do the right thing.
And
he's got this like sweet mindset about, I know I didn't get to be president, and I know I couldn't play.
Oh, my God. When he brings Tammy
football.
Her homework, because last time you got suspended, you fell so far behind. I didn't want that to happen again.
He really is such a sweet guy.
I know. And I love you like you're my sister, even though you're adopted. Oh, man, he's so good. It's like Chris Klein's – he will never do another role this good. That's for sure.
It was pretty great. And just even the blankness in his eyes as he's delivering these lines. Like there is just nothing going on back there except for just really genuine sweetness.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
But Tracy Flick is so nice.
Yeah, yeah. She works so hard. That's really Tracy's thing.
Yeah.
We meet Phil Reeves. The great Phil Reeves is the principal. Who ended up becoming an Alexander Payne mainstay.
I didn't even know that was his name. But yeah,
he's good.
That guy's great.
He's so real. Like, I didn't think he was an actor when I saw this. I was like, that guy's a real principal.
Are you sure? I thought they plucked him. Well, he's been in all the things. They plucked him out of
he
Nebraska,
may have discovered him, too. I don't know.
I think so. That's when he popped up. He's got that deadpan. But it's not even deadpan. It's just like...
Yeah, when he's doing the announcements and stuff, it's like every principal ever.
It's spot on.
Yeah. I just have a note in here that says it's a perfect comedy script. Like it really is, just as far as a writing piece to study.
Yeah, like sure, they as should, far as like when things happen.
They should trot this out in class. It's like perfect use of voiceover.
Yeah.
The freeze framing, the story, the structure, like it's just – it doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah, that's a you thing, goes. Structure. I know structure is your
– God. Well, it's because it's hard.
Yeah,
I'm not
I know.
Very good at it. Harmonious, productive, close, and special. also, I just have so many funny lines I jotted down in here when Chris Klein, and he breaks his leg in that great ski accident scene.
Yeah.
And he goes, I was so mad at God when I broke my leg at Shadow Ridge in spring break. He's reading the Celestine prophecy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So Broderick early on, I noticed yesterday, he doesn't he says how much he admires Tracy and stuff. And like that makes him an unreliable narrator. Like he's lying.
Well,
I think at the beginning even.
Well, maybe it was obligatory because that's what a good teacher does because he was teacher of the year. And,
right.
You know, like you're obligated to support the student that's trying to be such a stellar student and, you know, participator. Like, you're kind of a big asshole of a teacher.
I know. If like,
you don't.
The biggest go-getter
but
in
also,
class, you
prior to the Dave Novotny mess, maybe he did admire her and could relate to her a little bit more because he's a big go-getter, you know? So, like, her relationship with probably changed for him once.
I kind of forget that happened.
Yeah.
And, like, that colors his perception of her for sure.
Of course. And even though he says it's not Tracy's fault, of
right.
course he holds her culpable. I mean, you know, just for the simple fact that she was like – she kind of blew up his life. Well, she ultimately did blow up his life. That,
yeah.
That was one of the things that led to the other things that, you know, changed
but
everything.
But he enlists Paul, though, to run against Tracy because he's the most popular kid in school.
Yeah. No,
like he
yes,
wants
not
her
because
to go
he,
down.
He does and not because – but something – I feel like something happened prior to that. Well, and but even at that point, he is making his point of, you know, like it's not a democracy if
mm-hmm. –
I forget. What did he say? Like, if there
wasn't...
Well,
he drew the apples and then the one orange.
Yeah.
And he's like, and now you have a choice.
Yeah.
And that's democracy.
Yeah. So, you know, like, I think he was trying to convince himself as well. Like, well, in my
Maybe.
Mind, if I'm truly living up to what I believe is an important lesson to teach these kids, then there needs to be, you know, she needs
right.
to have competition and people need to have choices.
Right.
So, you know, but again, that's how, like how he's still like the perfect teacher. So he's trying to like...
Yeah, yeah.
He believes his own bullshit. But, you know, but you can tell he's not a fan of hers. When he finally picks her to answer the ethics and morals question until he blisses out and the bell rings in the middle of it. And he's like, okay,
yeah, right.
and just like cuts her off. Like this is not a teacher who's like.
The first time we hear the great tribal chant is that next morning when Paul is set up with his signature station and Tracy sees him
and
from
she sees
down the
him.
Hall.
Yeah. It's like the Native American, yeah.
I think it's from a movie. It's an Ennio Morricone score from a movie called Navajo Joe. Look that up. And so
Ennio Morricone.
Where they got that from.
Yeah, it's pretty great because it's so chill, like blood-curdling.
And Tracy signs his list even.
Yeah.
She's like, game on, basically.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Well, but it's funny because he's talking about how nice she is, and she's such a bitch to him once.
I know.
Oh, I said it. See?
Well, I know.
But I usually don't say that.
Like, no, that's, neither one
yeah,
of us do.
Yeah. But
I think it's just his character.
Yeah, probably so. But she is, you know, she's not super nice when she realizes that this is going to be our competition.
Yeah. Jessica Campbell plays Tammy Metzler. And I don't think she's done a ton since then, but she's so good in this.
She was fantastic.
And again, like with the Alexander Payne, like the real stuff, like everyone knew that girl who was, you know, she was gay. She didn't fit in. She was sort of punk rock.
She
was like, fuck school.
But she truly was punk rock because she didn't really care
She didn't give a shit. She loved it when she got suspended.
Yeah.
That speech that she gives is just like one of the great moments in the movie.
It's pretty great. And she could see the entire school is on
their
feet.
At all.
Yeah, which of course that's what high school kids want to hear. Then, you know, like it's all nice, like the do-gooders, but they want the person that's like, fuck this.
Who cares
fuck the
about
establishment
this stupid election?
Yeah. And everyone's like, huh?
Oh, man. It's so good. She's awesome.
Was really like, I remember when I first saw it, she was the highlight of the film for me because
yeah.
She so does not care.
Yeah, but she's like, she's a well-rounded character because she's sweet to Paul when he brings the homework, remember?
She's
kind of like, thanks, Paul.
She was about as sweet as it gets.
Yeah, but like you can tell that like she appreciated his kindness, I think.
I think I disagree. I remember looking at
her
face like, okay, thanks.
Well, I don't think
like,
she appreciated
next?
Having the work.
Right.
But I think she was kind of like, I think she kind of thinks, my big, dumb, sweet brother.
See, I think more she
no?
just tolerated him. Yeah, that's my, I mean,
so.
you know, obviously we'll never know. So our takeaways can be different, but.
They have that one heavy scene though where Tammy goes to, and it sets up the whole fact there where she goes to think under the high tension wires because that's later where she finds another example of just how perfectly this script
yeah.
fits together. That's later where Tracy throws away the campaign posters
right,
and she busts her.
Right, she finds them, yeah.
But she's sitting in there. Remember that really sad voiceover where she talks about going under the high tension wires and what it would be like to just disintegrate and not even be there? It's really, really sad.
I'm not remembering this
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, it's just like this, you know, it's her voiceover when she's out there and it's like, it's the one really sad kind of heavy moment of the movie when Tammy talks about she dreams of lying under there and disintegrating and what that would be like.
But it makes sense, too, if there's this world that she lives in that she can't fit into, of course.
Immaculate Heart.
Yeah,
I
know. Exactly. It's great.
Another great line. After Paul hooks up with Lisa, who was previously kissing on Tammy.
Yeah.
And, again, everyone knew that girl, too.
Like, yeah, of
she
course.
She experiments a little
I'm
bit
not
with
gay.
Other girls.
I'm not really gay. I'm different from you.
But he said, you know, it opens on his face when he's getting the blowjob.
Yeah.
And he talks about just how surprised and how great everything was. He goes, and every day after school, we go to Lisa's house to fuck and have a hot tub.
Delivered in that just like,
I know,
yeah,
just
lyrical,
sweet.
Yeah.
Mm. And then Tammy enters the race. And so it's just like all these things are setting up in this movie just so
yeah.
perfectly. Tammy enters the race because she's mad at
not
Paul
even mad
about
at Paul.
Lisa.
She's
well,
mad at Lisa about
yeah,
Paul, and
true.
Now she's trying to get them both back. Yeah, but Paul is oblivious. He's like, why?
Yeah, he's like, why?
Why are you mad at me? Why would you do this, man?
And Lisa's like, she's doing this because of me. And he's like,
why?
What a dum-dum.
Yeah.
So then what you have is a parallel story. You've got the student council election going on. And I think that's what I love about this movie is both the A story and the B story are perfectly in sync and timed
yeah.
and like dovetail at the end with Paul or with Mr. M and Linda Novotny.
Right.
And there's that very first shot when he looks at her ass when she walks by.
Right. In
and
her
you're
like
mom jeans.
Yeah, in her like practical mom jeans
who,
with her
like
baby.
Those are in style now, but in 1999, that was a really funny like pair of jeans to be wearing.
And why are they in style now? That's a different
yeah,
conversation.
We can talk about
they
that.
Weren't good in the 80s.
But I do want to shout out Delaney Driscoll as Linda Novotny. So good.
She's great.
But it sets up, you know.
She seems like she
B
could have
story.
Been a real person.
Yeah, but I've seen her in other stuff.
You have?
Yeah, for sure, every now and then. And it sets up that they're friends and all, and then he has that, you know, they go shopping, and then he's driving by the
hotel.
Yeah,
and throws out, like, should we get a room?
Should
like,
we get a room?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's just like
– you're just like, ew, 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 don't be that guy.
And in that subplot, what's going on is his – he can't get his wife pregnant. They're clearly – I mean, their marriage seems fine, but, like, they're just sitting there at the table having dinner, not really talking much.
Kind of vanilla. And
very vanilla. And then, you know, they have that great sex scene.
Yeah.
Fill me up.
Fill me up.
Just like that.
Oh, God.
And then he sees Linda's face and
yeah,
then Tracy's
like the,
face.
Yeah, like the slide that comes in and then Tracy's face. And that's when she's, like, talking about being productive.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like with her lips. It's, like, close up on her mouth. What does she say? You said it earlier.
Oh. Where is it here? Harmonious, productive, close, and special. Just like that. Mr. McAllister. But they Alexander Payne's not afraid of like a dumb joke back then.
Yeah.
Like his movies now, he definitely went on to mature as a filmmaker with
sure.
stuff like Sideways and Descendants, I think.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like watching this, like there were
yeah.
things that he wouldn't do anymore.
No.
But that kind of set him apart in his early directing career.
But it wasn't ever like American Pie.
No.
Dumb. It was still like smart satire.
Yeah.
But he wasn't afraid to like, you know, go base.
Yeah.
For like a
there was a lot of base.
For
yeah.
a joke. Should we get a room? So then we have our three speeches at the rally. You know, Tracy's is such a like, of course, she
By
ends up
book.
Working for a Republican congressman
yeah.
at the end of the movie. Like,
yeah.
she's a politician through and through.
Yeah.
Paul's is hysterical.
Oh,
he
my
just,
God. It's a run-on sentence with no emotion. And he's
oh
like, he's just like hunched over the mic that they can't get up for him. And I'm so glad I got this nomination and I promise to be a good president. And you know, yeah, it's like.
And we could be winners just like last fall when I drove the team down in the fourth quarter
right.
and threw the winning touchdown.
That is what I want everyone to feel all the time.
But everyone has seen that kid too. Again,
yeah.
it's like they nail all these high school archetypes.
Yeah.
Like no one's running against the disabled kid.
Right.
Like that is such a
yeah.
like, minor detail.
Yeah.
But such a thing.
Who's
that
running
would,
for the vice president
yeah,
unopposed.
Unopposed.
Yeah.
That's such a thing that would happen.
Sure.
Like in high school.
Yeah. Like he was a shoo-in for this, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then Tammy's just great speech.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he sets the camera up and just pulls back very slowly.
Yeah.
When she's just like inciting anarchy, basically.
Yeah.
So good. So then the B story sort of intensifies when Jim goes over to fix Linda's drain clog. And then they had that great kiss when they kind of waltz into the scene.
Yeah.
And that score, you know, Alexander Payne with his great scores.
Yeah.
And they waltz in and they're kissing. And it sets in motion like this whole hotel idea when she's like, let's meet at that hotel. It sets in motion kind of the funniest sequence of the movie.
Oh, when he gives a pop quiz and then splits?
The whole thing. He goes into school. He gives him the pop quiz. He goes Alexander
hustles out.
to buy chocolate and flowers.
Yeah.
Champagne.
At Walgreens.
Is that right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He like pulled up to Walgreens and got all their finest box.
So he got Walgreens champagne.
And flowers and chocolate. Yeah.
But one of the funniest parts in the movie, and I read Alexander Payne says that he took this movie based on the balls washing shot.
Yeah, which he stops to do in the hotel.
Yes, he's
yeah.
setting up the hotel and he gets in the tub and he washes his ass and
yeah.
his balls. And Alexander Payne said he read that and he said, and I decided I wanted to do the movie just so I could shoot that scene.
Which was a very unassuming scene, but you know what he's doing.
Oh, it's
and he's
great.
Like motoring around and driving around that little compact car. Like,
doing the Ferris
yeah,
Bueller run.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And
yeah, where he kind
one...
of runs with his upper half not uh-huh. moving.
Oh, yeah. That's what I kept
bom,
thinking of.
Bom, bom.
He, was that when they showed the sort of whimsical, sports car in the south of France driving around fantasy, or was that later on?
That was a weird thing. When it popped in, I think that was the end of it, like when he pulled back up from doing
right.
that maybe.
Yeah.
Like as he was
Chow
leaving
bed,
the hotel, he was, yeah,
yeah.
Like, kind of picturing himself.
And he's in his little
which is,
Ford
yeah,
Fiesta
in like, you know, fall, late fall Omaha.
Yeah.
Like
dusty.
In, yeah. Gray and drab and.
That's another Payne sort of having fun thing too, though. Like, he didn't do that stuff much later on.
No, because it was a bit of a cheesy touch in watching it 20 years later, but funny. Like, you see where he's, you know, you didn't need that to know that that's where his head was, but
right.
You know.
Yeah, for sure. Tracy tears down the shit, and that's when that whole plot is going to set in motion.
Yeah.
As to, you know, the ultimate end game that's going to come.
Which is important, too. She didn't start off to do that. She was just trying to fix her poster.
Yeah.
Then she falls. And then that was just like, you can, like, she's been on a thin line with all of this competition and stuff, and it's the thing that breaks her. But that's kind of also what happens, like, some of these other decisions that McAllister happens. It's like things that happen at the in the moment.
Right.
Where they don't necessarily, that's not their intention. But it just starts taking stuff downhill.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like it wasn't – he didn't have some big master plan.
No. And again, he can always justify it though.
Right.
There's like this – you know, he can do the thing and then justify it.
She has
it.
To be stopped.
Yeah. I pictured all the people that were going to suffer.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's kind of right though.
I know, because she is. She's like – she's really – not having those social relationships is going to make her an insufferable boss and probably really
great
successful politician. Yeah.
She said Ree said that she still today gets female politicians when she meets them will say Tracy Flick.
Like, oh,
that
that's
was my girl.
Awesome.
And even Hillary Clinton said people always came up to me and said stuff about me being like Tracy Flick.
Wow.
And she was like, well, I'm not sure really how to take that.
Yeah. Thanks.
It's funny. But yeah, even I forgot when it's a pretty important little detail because you're right. She doesn't go in there to tear down the poster. She ends up doing it and even looks down at the paper cuts like, you know.
Like what just happened.
The scarred hands of Jesus.
like she snaps.
What have I done?
Yeah. She literally just snaps. It's like she just loses her shit. Like, and you've got to think this young child, you know, who's not equipped for this kind of pressure that she puts on herself. And clearly there are moments where you see that her mom is completely pushing her in this direction.
Mom gives her a Valium.
Yeah. Well, that's – yeah. Maybe it's because you didn't listen to my notes about your speech.
Yeah.
You didn't take my ideas for – you know, it's just
clear
like,
where it comes from. Single mother appears.
Sure. Like I'm going to – and she's like a – you know, she was – what did she
she's
do?
She's a paralegal.
But she became a paralegal after something else. But it's like she's, you know, obviously like this super capable person who ended up, you know, with the cards that she was dealt. So she's like going to live her life through her child.
Right.
That's why she got up and decorated 480 cupcakes at the
that's
crack of dawn.
Right. She is living her life through Tracy, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not doing her any favors, though.
No.
You know? She didn't have any friends.
Yeah, that's like what high school – like high school is just as much about social development as it is about career –
More so.
Potential. Yeah, exactly. Because if you don't get good then, it gets harder later.
So did everyone hear that? Big advice flying out of Emily's mouth.
And I'm not saying you have to be popular. I was not popular. You can still be
successful.
Oh, sure
you were popular.
No, I was well-liked. That's different than popular.
Tomato, tomato. So he knows she did it.
Yes,
like
he does.
Knows.
And well, because he doesn't beat around the bush, he calls her on it. He basically accuses her of it.
Oh, that's a great scene. He's like, oh, really? Because I think you did it.
Yeah, yeah.
And she has a great argument. She goes, with all my responsibilities, I often have to come in on the weekends, and I have permission to do so. It's like she's the high school student that comes in on a Saturday night to, like, do yearbook layout or whatever.
Yeah.
God. And that's when they have
that. Not me in high school.
No, I was sort of a I was in a lot of clubs and stuff, but I'd never like – you know me. I mean
– I know you.
I wasn't like the hardest worker there. I sort of like just sort of being around.
That's how I was
action.
In high school, which is not like me as an adult, but I was not
– Yeah, you are Tracy Flick now.
Ask my – no, I'm not. Take that back.
Well, I mean as far as just your
ambition and motivation.
Yeah, and fastidious and organized and like,
well,
come on.
In high school, I was not like that. I was all about the social. Like,
but you have tons of friends. I'm not saying like
– No, no, no.
You're not like Tracy in that
no,
way.
No, I didn't mean that. But
I'm
I
digging
just,
myself out now.
Yeah, just stop talking. You were fine because I was trying to make the point, which is that I was not that hard of a worker. Like I was told – many, many times by all of my parents that I was not working up to my full potential. That was a – like that could have been in my yearbook. I was a late bloomer, a later bloomer.
Well, we both are.
Yeah.
That's when – and by the way, this is when they have one of my favorite exchanges in the movie. The certain people exchange is just what I'll call it. I think certain people.
Oh, yeah.
Like we were talking about earlier. It's so good.
Yeah.
Boy, it's so heated.
Yeah.
And he like –
She does. She digs in, which
well,
is
he
like.
He thinks, like, I'm the teacher, and yeah, he sort of thinks like, he has the
gives,
upper
like,
hand,
a power
and she
play.
Fucking destroys him.
She Well, she can hold her own. That's yeah. when you know she's going to be fine.
When they can't even get their own wife pregnant, and he's just like, ow, the look was, on his face is just horror, and like,
I know.
What am I hearing?
And like, I'm going to, like, cut her in her sleep.
Oh, my God. If they hadn't gotten so mushy.
That was really – if certain people hadn't been so mushy.
Oh, my God. She's so good.
She's great.
It's easy to forget and just sort of, I don't know, think that that's her and what she's like or something. But like
– she embodied that character.
I know. It's
and,
such a good performance.
You know, I was trying to think too. It's like she did Cruel Intentions. That was huge for her. And the,
Man on the Moon.
Man on
was
the
that
Moon was great.
Sweet movie.
But she was like 12 in that.
She was adorable,
she
too.
She was so darling
those
in that.
Those little kid pictures of her in the Girl Scouts
yeah.
in this movie on the wall.
Pretty great.
Just cute as a button.
But I was trying to think, too, she was in Fear, that Marky Mark movie.
Oh, that's right. I didn't see that.
But I'm trying to think of, you know, she was like just teenager. So this was like her first kind of like starring role probably.
Well,
where she
and
has a part of,
kind of cool role.
Yeah. Yes. Like indie movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Alexander Payne, you got good cred
yeah.
if you're in one of his films.
Like, I'm trying to think if there was anything else that would have, like, you know. So she was a bit of a blank slate, I guess is what I'm saying. So
yeah.
you don't have this idea of who you think Reese Witherspoon
right.
is. So she played this so well. Like, that could very well have been her.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
She was so good. And her hair, like, he always does such a great job with his
– the supporting details.
Well, his crew, you
yeah.
know, his hair and makeup, like her
yeah.
wardrobe.
Yeah, spot
like
on.
Like those tights she was wearing and the sweaters.
She had the mom jeans too. Like,
yeah, she totally
yeah.
had the mom jeans and the hair,
yeah.
the, you know, the curled hair.
Yeah.
Just so spot on.
Yeah.
I need to like.
She looks like a little, going to be a politician.
Yeah. I need to look up like his crew members and shout them out. You know, KP worked on some of his movies.
Really?
Yeah.
What movies?
Oh, boy. I think he worked on Sideways and I think he worked on About Schmidt.
I did not know that.
And maybe Nebraska? Our friend Kevin Pierce, folks, who we knew in, I guess, Atlanta first, right? You did? Or did
yes,
you meet
no,
him in LA?
I kind of knew him in Atlanta, but got to know him better in LA, yeah.
Yeah, so KP is a great guy. And we got to see him at our friend's wedding last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We were sitting at the table with Will, though, and I don't know that they knew each other, so I don't
with
know
Will
that
Forte?
He, yeah, that I don't know that he
oh,
worked
he wouldn't have worked
on
Nebraska.
Nebraska yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Because they would have been like, hey, what's up,
yeah,
Nebraska?
Yeah, I know you. Five people worked on that movie.
I think certain older, wiser people. the Midwestern accents are so great in this, too.
Yeah.
So Tammy, they have the interrogation scene when he's interrogating her about the posters. And Tammy lets her off the hook.
That was a pretty great reveal because you think
yeah.
Tracy Flick's about to go down.
Because I know who did it.
Yeah.
She has that face. It's
yeah.
Just, and Tracy's
that
just
little
like oh,
yeah,
shit.
That shitty like, yeah. I know, whatever. I'll tell you, I guess.
But this is proof she doesn't give a shit.
Well, that's when you really realize that this isn't an act. Like she really
yeah.
doesn't give a shit. She was trying to get out of that school. Like,
no,
that
she's
was,
not trying to help Reese Witherspoon.
No, not at all.
You know, that was just a byproduct of her – I guess trying to just get suspended.
She wanted to
or...
be out of the school probably because,
yeah.
yeah, it was all such nonsense. But that's – I remember like the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, no, Tracy Flick's going down. And then
yeah.
you find out she took credit for it and it's like, what?
And then what does Tracy do?
Oh, she – yeah, she yells at her like, you'll pay for my poster.
She explodes
yeah.
on her after all that shit.
I know.
It's like that says so much about that character.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
You're going to pay for my posters. So good.
That indignant self-righteousness.
I have written down here, Matthew Broderick running, so Ferris Bueller. So then the next thing happens in the film that is probably my favorite detail of this whole movie. Do you know what I'm about to say?
No, I'm letting you lead, so I've totally blissed out.
The bee sting.
Oh, God, yeah. That you know. It's funny because at the
no
end it ends up looking
this.
Very Something About Mary. Like I
yeah.
realize like that just exaggerated like.
Oh, my God.
And it really does add to the events that happen because it's like it's,
oh, yeah.
it's so sad sack.
Yeah. And what it does is like there's no reason to do it other than to.
Belabor.
Just make everything
yeah.
worse for him.
Yeah.
Like the worst
He's
day ever.
He's more beleaguered.
Whatever. Yeah. More beleaguered.
Yeah.
And he. It mirrors his downfall. Like
yes.
the eye gets worse and worse. Swollen. And he gets more disheveled looking and more like unkempt. And he's sleeping in his car and he's pissing on the front lawn.
Well, but he's at his ends at this point. Like, his life has literally just imploded.
Oh.
And, you know, he's like trying to keep it together because he's got this reputation. But you see him start to slip. Even the way he's talking to the kids, like, he's always been Mr. M and this trusted guy.
Yeah.
And he just starts starts being an asshole.
I know. Yeah, it just unravels. It's one of my favorite things to see in a movie.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
like,
I hate it.
The unraveling of like a funny unraveling of a character.
I only want someone to unravel if they're a terrible person.
But when he gets stung, the way it dawns on him about how bad it hurts, because at first he just puts his hand through and he goes, ow, ow, Jesus, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's as he's leaving the frame. He goes, oh, fuck. It's almost like an aside.
Oh, yeah. It's just like building and it like settles in how bad it hurts. It's
well, and then
so
he
funny.
Mentions, they're like, what happened to your eyes? Like, most people get stung by a bee. I swell.
Most people get stung, nothing happens.
Yeah.
I swell up.
Yeah, you're better at remembering the actual quotes.
Oh, I know. It's a disease.
I'm paraphrasing. Thank you.
So he gets busted in his B plot with the affair by
well,
his wife.
His mistress goes over and tells his wife and they're communing.
Well, do you remember how it was revealed, though? Like, that again, with pain, it's the subtle little things. He goes in. He's had the worst day ever.
Yeah.
He gets stood up at the hotel.
Right.
He gets a beer. And what do you hear in the other room?
Oh, the baby crying.
You hear the baby.
And he's like, oh, fudge. Yeah.
It's just those little pain details.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's more effective than if he had walked in and they'd been sitting there somehow.
He's
hears
like,
that fucking baby.
Oh.
And he knows what's going on. It's so good. And he walks in.
And they just look at him.
And he just goes.
They're all tear stained and like wounded.
And he just, I think he even says like, oh,
he just goes, okay.
And
turns
and leaves.
He kind of peeps around and then like it's dawning on him. He still, I think, is hoping that maybe like that what he thinks has happened has not.
Oh, yeah.
Because you think he would have just turned tail and walked out.
Yeah.
But he like pops around like hopeful.
Uh-huh.
And then they both look at him like, you know, he's just like shot a puppy and he's like, okay.
Oh, man. The another funny part is when he goes back to the hotel and the guy goes, do you want the same room?
He goes, okay.
But he ends up sleeping in his car that night, I think.
Well, because he's waiting in front of Linda's house to try to like,
And he really did. I looked in the trivia. He really did pee on that tree in the scene.
What's really funny is, in my mind, the way, you know, like this stuff usually builds up, a cop pulls up and arrests him for indecent exposure.
Right.
I hadn't remembered a lot of details of the movie, so I was waiting for that to happen because it's just like the, you know, like the once the guy's on
kick him while he's down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen and that wouldn't be a pain move. That's
no.
like a big budget movie move.
Absolutely. That's American Pie.
Yeah, exactly.
The cop shows up and the cop is, you know, fucking The Rock or something.
Yeah.
And he throws him against the car. The election happens. What does he do?
He votes for Tracy.
He votes for Tracy.
Which is funny because that ends up being
I know.
Her winning vote.
Yeah.
So it's
again,
like –
again, perfect
it
script.
It really was perfect. Yeah.
And the moral center once again.
Yeah.
And he has this great voiceover where he explains like, I always wonder. And he's like, but when I saw my name, it just didn't feel right
for myself. I know, which is
– What does he do later in life?
What do I think he does?
Yeah, like what job does he get?
He works at his dad's company and,
probably
you know,
so,
he's
right.
like the good time guy. Yeah.
Yeah, probably he's the guy that takes clients out
totally.
For dinner and
yeah,
plays
like
golf.
To,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're totally right. Because at the end, we threw this great Mexican party.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that party was great.
He's like, I didn't get to be president and I didn't get to play football.
But I pledged
Fidel. And yeah. Well, and it's funny, there are a couple times where Tracy Flick is in her narrative, these rich kids don't know how good they have it. And but then she like talks herself out of it. So there's and you know that comes from her mom. Like there's this kind of like she doesn't have the advantages, so she has to work twice as hard. Plus she's a woman. And,
true.
You know,
those are true
especially
things.
20, these are all very true. And it bugs her, but she's trying. Like she is on the verge of like a crack could happen at any time with the pressure and like the knowledge that she has.
But she won't. She's the kind of person, and I've known people like this, that won't crack
No, they stuff
they'll go
it down.
Or they'll lock themselves in their – closet
right.
and scream into the pillow
right.
and then come out and fix their hair
right.
and go back into the party.
But like, that's what was so funny about the posters, because she did crack, because she's a kid.
Yeah.
She's not been able to, you know, like the, that, of course she's going to lose it.
But Tracy, where does, we know she gets in politics, but where does she end up in 20 years? She's, I think, the exact same person 20 years later.
Ruthlessly ambitious.
And
yeah.
probably doesn't have a ton of friends.
Yeah.
Like
her work is her,
her work
her
is
family
her, her
and, yeah.
husband.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she, you know, gets married later in life and has kids.
Someone like that is more set up for affairs, I think, like right? bits of,
I know.
You know,
yeah.
romantic relationships
like
that
Dave
don't really amount to much exactly. Yeah, because she's so career oriented.
I thought it was really funny how the kids are always telling Mr. M how the election is supposed to be done.
Well, too, he
does that early.
He would have normally cared about right
with his signatures.
Yeah,
aren't you supposed to keep that?
But he was distracted every time. You know, like he's got all this stuff going on, and he's
yeah, yeah. He's worried about his life falling apart.
Well, aren't you supposed to keep that? He just didn't want to hear it from her. But yeah, that was
for
like
sure.
these are the rules, you know. And he ends up pitching that in the trash, which has no consequence. It's weird because I was thinking
two
like
times
with that
he threw something in the trash
yeah.
that he shouldn't have.
But it was, you know, it was just it was so like, but he still cared at that point. By the time he got
a little bit, yeah,
to the election, he was so distracted.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the kid? The great, great, great kid.
His
I love his face.
Larry
is wonderful.
I think he was a real kid.
I think he was. And then he's been brought along in a couple other.
Yeah. I think he went on to like act and stuff here.
He
let me
played
see
a
here.
Real asshole in something. And I remember thinking, no.
No. I told Nicholas D'Agosto.
He's great.
As Larry Fouch.
He, Fouch. Hey, I think I'll call him Fouch, which is, yeah.
Jesus, Larry, we're not electing the fucking Pope here. And the look on his face, he's just like.
Well, he's so like,
hurt because, like, it's supposed to be done a certain way,
it is,
Mr. M.
And he cares about that. And Mr. M at some point cared about that. That's when you know
I
he's
know.
Lost it, because Mr. M instilled
these
values
yeah.
into these kids about elections and how, you know,
I
like
know.
How important this process is. And, well, as he's kind of like, they're like, you've got the key as he's starting to walk out of to the ballot box.
Oh, right.
And
right.
he's like digging through his crappy drawers trying to find it. And then he finally just pulls out a,
like
screwdriver,
a screwdriver
while he's kind of lecturing on him and like ripping it apart, like pulls the lock off. Like this is a man in, you know, like a downward spiral.
Yeah, he's in free fall.
But his students are so focused on the rules and the way you do it that they
right.
– and it's you were mentioning too
are.
When your teacher acts like a person, when they kind of break that teacher
yeah.
barrier and you start to see some
when
of the cracks.
When teacher has a bad day.
Yeah.
Like I remember how that just fucked with my head so much. Like it didn't happen much, but I remember a few times where the teacher had a – clearly had shit going on in their lives.
Sure.
And like melted down a little bit in
oh,
front
yeah.
of the kids.
I remember one, Mrs. Berzins,
really?
My home ec teacher.
What
oh
did
yeah.
she do?
I don't remember the exact she had this really tight smile with these big white teeth
yeah.
that didn't always seem authentic. It seemed like in retrospect it was probably a woman who was trying to hold it together.
Right.
But something happened, I don't remember what, but she like completely lost her
oh,
shit.
Man.
I remember that. And it was but it was a spectacle. Like
well, teachers
as a kid,
aren't allowed to do that.
Of course they're not
you know?
Allowed to do it. It's like
That's
you're
tough.
You're breaking the rules when you do that. You've got to maintain respect.
Yep.
You've got to have like a wall up with your students to
kind
where
of
you
always.
Are the yeah.
Yeah.
You let them in and you're hosed. Unless you're a different kind of teacher.
Yeah,
that can be
but
more
you still
got
to sort of like you got to hold it together.
You do.
You can't bring that shit in the classroom.
Yeah, I don't believe in
it's
faking it till
it.
You make it, but you have to as a teacher.
Yeah.
Cuz they will eat you alive.
I had a home ec teacher named Mr. Wagner that the rumor was that he drank. And
which may have been true.
May have very much been true. Looking back, I don't know. I bet he was probably drinking.
Yeah.
But there were days where he would come in.
Why is that home ec teachers?
And
is
just
that
sort
like...
of – it was industrial arts actually.
Oh, okay.
Did I say home ec?
Yeah.
No. He was industrial arts.
Even and, more worrisome with
well,
like power
sort of
tools.
The same
Jesus
thing.
Christ.
This was different. This was we did screen printing and photography
I
and
love
stuff
that
like that.
I did that. I wish
I know.
Done
it was pretty
that.
Great. I still have all that stuff, by the way.
I would have loved a class like that at school.
I made
that
lamps.
Would have been better than home ec for me.
There was also shop class.
Might not have known that about me, but
I took home ec.
You did?
Yeah. I took
did you have
home
to sew
ec.
An apron?
No, we did cooking and stuff.
My mom stayed up all night and sewed my fucking apron because I can't sew.
You cheated.
Well, I guess I just passed. And I don't,
you cheated. That's
I
right.
Yeah, I cheated there.
Cheater.
I cheated.
Yeah, Mr. Wagner would come in and some days would just shuffle sort of to his desk and say, today is just a free work day.
Oh, like, yeah.
Sort of do your thing. And he would just sort of sit there. So
yeah. In fairness, I did cheat, but the abuse from my mom for having to fix this for me kind of offset that. All right. I feel like I paid fair for enough. My crimes.
I wasn't judging anyway.
You know I can't sew.
Huh? That's true. Where are we here? All right. So the election happens. The vote count happens. In between all this, the B story is playing out, and he has that the couple of voice messages that he leaves Linda.
Oh yeah, or just increasingly they go back and forth between desperate and pathetic to
You've
like rational. Yeah,
you've ruined Diane's life.
I'm sorry. I'm just losing it. I'm kind of losing it right now.
This is Jim. I love you. That's how he finished.
I remember that from our first viewing.
After
like
the whole
many
thing,
years ago.
This is Jim.
I love you.
Oh my God, it's so sad.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
So Tracy wins by the vote, of course. He rigs the election. He throws away the papers. He says it in the voiceover. He didn't need to. Like I think he knew in that moment what he was going to do, although he says he didn't until he saw her jumping.
Well, yeah, and that was.
Did you believe that?
I do.
Okay.
Because, you know, because he's still, again, he, like, you know, these running, doing things the right way was ingrained in him.
Right.
But he was in crisis. I'm certainly not defending him, but hit me with some of that.
He was in crisis.
He was in crisis, and Tracy had peeked in, and there were two students in the room. One was counting the votes. What was the other? Just like. Just like a watcher, like a security guard.
That kid was cute too.
Yeah, he was
Tracy
darling.
The thumbs up.
Yeah. So she looks in and he kind of gives her like the thumbs up and she's jumping up and down in victory because she's not supposed to know. Yeah, the freeze frame was great because that was the true it wasn't like a funny face. She was victorious.
She's in the window.
But he sees her and it just enrages him. Like he already is not behind this and it was just like one thing too many. Again, he snaps. This was his snapping moment.
It's almost like it's the one thing he can control at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, because everything else is out of his hands.
Yeah.
He's been sold out by Linda.
He doesn't know where he's going to live. He doesn't, like, his whole, like, personal life is
in ruin.
Up in arms. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also, but then he justifies it as he has all of his other decisions where, you know, he's like, I'm saving countless others from, you know.
She has, he even says she has to be stopped.
Yeah. But it's like, she's a kid, man.
I know. Well.
But she also has proved to be a worthy, ruthless opponent as well. When
I think that's,
gone head to head, she faced him.
I think that's the whole key to why this movie works, though, is
she's not treated as a kid. Yeah.
She's treated as an adversary, as an equal.
But she goes back and forth between acting like a ruthless adult and then like a wounded kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's so sloppy, though. You don't throw that shit in the trash can like that.
Dipshit.
Like, put
it in your pocket.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Eat it. Take it, like.
Or grab it later, even, like, before you go out.
Flush it down the toilet. Yeah, like, a million things you could have done.
I'm not, like, a cheat, but if I did,
you
know, I would.
Better than that.
Yeah, I would figure out, like, a much better plan. Well, I am a cheat, actually. I just exposed myself as one.
Well, come on.
So I know how to cover up.
And Larry, again, he's so incensed. Like, that kid is just all over his face.
His righteousness is so wonderful because it's so pure. It, you know, he, like, believes in this system and doing it right. And he knows he keeps going head to head. Like, I counted the total votes.
Yeah.
You know, like, he knew that something was not right. And the teacher, the principal finally tells him to, like, back off.
I know. Well, because he sort of makes a veiled threat. He was like, those votes were there when I gave him the box.
Yeah. And he's like, and whoa.
He's like, and the principal's like, I don't like where this is going.
Yeah.
Young man.
But it's funny because he's right.
That kid was in Masters of Sex. Is that what you were thinking?
Yes. And he was a bit of a jerk in that. Yes. Oh, yeah. That's right. He had a partner. Good show.
It was a good show. I liked it. So then we go to the restaurant. Paul sees Mr. M eating by himself, and that's another funny thing. It's like teachers breaking down in class and then seeing a teacher in the wild.
Oh, yeah. You talk about that a lot. Like
it's always so weird.
Yeah.
And we've seen it with Ruby.
Oh, yeah.
She saw one of – they were out at the Mexican place
when we went
that
to – and Libby and Chan were there.
And they all had their margaritas.
Yeah.
And Ruby, the look on her face was
just
like –
Yeah, seeing them sitting at a table.
Yeah, it rocks your world that they exist outside of – think like that is just their life.
Yeah.
They're just teachers.
Right. They're waiting there for you. Like they're spending the night there until you get back to school. Sure.
And like I remember when I saw like Ruby's face when she saw them, I was
I remember
that feeling.
It was like excited and what?
And she didn't even get like the drinking thing.
Yeah.
It's like that would have really rocked my world.
Yeah.
I see teachers drinking.
They drink beard.
They do drink beard. Inside joke for just the two of us. That should go over well. So Tracy is destroyed. Her mom gives her a Valium or something. It was just hysterical that she's giving her kid, like, you know, anxiety medicine
but
or whatever.
It's funny because she probably treats her as an equal in that house.
Well, again.
Yeah. Like she's her mother, but I'm sure she, you know, like she treats her as like a younger version of herself.
Right.
Like if the mom drank, Tracy would probably drink wine at dinner.
I mean, that could have been a deleted scene that like she gives her a glass of wine or something. So McAllister can't go home. This is when he goes to the hotel, actually.
Right.
And that is when it's like Alexander Payne, you know, the whole thing about the screenwriting axiom is you take your hero, make him climb a tree and throw rocks at him.
Oh, no.
That's sort of the key.
That makes – I could probably pick out 10 scenes where that happened.
Yeah, that's the key to drama apparently is like
just
take your main character,
him
put him in
down.
A tree and throw rocks at him. It's basically obstacles. But the final – of that day, the worst day ever, is when the fucking vending machine thing hangs up.
Oh, yeah.
And he just loses it.
You know, it's funny. When I was watching that, I was like, how did the art department do that?
Get it to hang up?
Yeah, I think I figured
that
it
stuff
out.
All the time.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think they attached the bottom, so when it turned, it flipped forward, but the bottom was stuck.
I had another moment in this movie like that. Remember when the poster was the corner was peeling down?
Yeah.
I was like, how are they doing that?
Yeah.
And the way it was framed, I think there was – and it was right by the door of a
– Oh, so there was somebody with
a room. I think there was someone on a ladder in the art department in that room, and they were just reaching their arm around the corner and like unpeeling it because the top edge was out of frame.
Oh, interesting.
And peeling it.
So I was thinking it could be like a piece of what's the clear
– Oh, like monofilament line or something?
Yeah.
Just like pulling
just
on
pulling it.
I wonder if other people do this or if it's just like former film crew people.
I don't know.
Because I can always – I try not to, but – I can always see the PA just out of frame dropping the feathers during the pillow fight or whatever.
Well, it was funny because when I first started working on movies, it did take me out of it. And then it was able pretty quickly to like get back to –
Yeah, just like vanquish that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think about it a lot. But maybe movies I've seen a bunch, I start to notice more details or think about more stuff like that.
You can't like obsess about that stuff.
No.
It will – I mean, working on a film crew can ruin some stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. I love movies so much. I finally, for like the first year or two of my career in the film industry, I would be like, oh, I was standing, especially something that I worked on. Oh,
sure.
I was right over there. This was happening. Or, you know, it's like, it's kind of hard to take seriously, but.
That is funny, though.
Yeah.
I've done this thing, too, where I was like, I was actually 4 feet out of frame in this shot right here.
And then they were laughing right before she hysterically started crying.
Right.
Yeah.
So then the big reveal when Broderick. You remember he wakes up in the hotel and he's like, today's a new day.
Yeah, somehow he's able – talk about mindset. We were having a conversation about mindset. He's able to like, this is a new opportunity start fresh with my life. And, you know, he's like given it no morning time whatsoever.
No.
Yeah.
No, but and maybe it dawns on him that – and maybe it's best that this movie didn't go too deep down that voiceover rabbit hole. Like, my marriage wasn't so great after all. And like, you didn't need all that stuff.
No, it kind of like – he's a practical person.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But he goes into school.
With a bit of a spring in his step.
Yeah, the principal wants to see him. He barges in and goes, you rang. And he stops because there's that great shot.
Yeah, of all of them.
Tracy,
her mom.
The principal.
Larry. Yeah, who is like.
Fucking Larry.
Yeah,
like. Scowling.
Yeah, his face is so mad.
Oh,
like,
my
perfectly
God.
Perfectly. Just. Like, you are dog shit.
Oh, he thinks he's scum.
Yeah, like he's like on the bottom of his shoe.
Well, we'll get to the stoplight scene in a minute. I think Matt Malloy's in there.
Like, it's funny because he was very underused in this.
He's always there.
But he just was like an extra face.
And then the janitor, of course.
Yeah. But it's funny because Tracy is not mad. She's upset, which is such a kid reaction.
Yeah.
Like, how could my teacher do this to me?
Like crying, right?
No, she's just got like a big frowny face on.
Okay.
Her mom is like, I will shoot steel beams through your liver with my eyes right now. I don't know why. I do, like, that's how specific they could be. She could target his liver. Like, you know, as you would as a mother. Like when you turn around, you're probably going to die from a swift kick.
Success?
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
Especially for her.
Yes.
Like, that's the one thing you're not going to fuck with.
Yeah. Especially, again, since it's been made such a point of, like, she's had to rise above obstacles. She wasn't just
right.
moving things.
And here this teacher is, like,
trying to take it from her. Yeah.
It's such a great shot and such a great scene, though.
And they go through all the faces. So it's like he gets hit with all the faces, and it's just, like, in a rounder.
Yeah. And that great line, it's so sad. He said in the end, it was very simple. I offered my resignation, and he accepted
it. My career at Carver High was over.
Yeah, it was over.
Yeah. So where do you go? Oh, no,
Then he pulls up to the stoplight.
Yeah.
And we get the great scene where Larry fucking spits on his car.
Like, he rolls down his window, and you don't know what's going to happen, and McAllister's just kind of watching him, and then he just...
And McAllister, even before that, sort of gives him a little, like...
Like, hi.
Like, sort of like, I'm
like,
sorry. Like, are we good?
And he just hawks a loogie on his window. I mean, it's the utter, like, you are garbage.
Yeah. Broderick does so good in that scene, though. Like, just that face he makes. There's much, like, face acting going on.
But then the best part that really just is the nail in the coffin for everything is that it's a little news item that he said it's one of those things that is just like weird enough or whatever to be picked up by the newswire. And then suddenly this is like nationwide news. Yeah, email it.
Email it to one another.
Yeah, and post it on.
And post on bulletin boards.
Yeah. It's like in this day he would have been like a celebrity like in a bad way for it. But he kind of was.
He would have been exposed and it would have been 10 minutes later.
They showed a map and it just spread like wildfire because it's like, who would do that? Does that. So then he's persona non grata, basically. Like, there's nowhere. He's got to leave Omaha.
No wife. He's got no job.
Yeah.
He's
got a reputation.
He's got a little Ford Fiesta or whatever that
is. So where do you go? New York City.
That great music.
Living in his garden apartment. The basement.
It's funny, the resolution of all the characters, it's really neat to see because, of course, everything works out for Paul. He goes to college and everything's going to work out for Paul his whole life.
He's got great privilege, exactly. He's got a wealthy father. He's
privileged wealth.
Yeah.
But again.
And also, he's a decent human being.
But he's also a really nice guy.
Yeah. So you don't hate him for having these things. Yeah.
He's just a big doof. Tammy ends up at Immaculate Heart.
Which is perfect.
With Jennifer. They play that Donovan song.
I hope we'll never be apart ever.
God,
yeah.
But
her obsession is a little bit concerning. The way she gets so into these girls.
That's the high school thing,
of
though.
Course
it's
it is.
Like every love is the biggest love ever. You know, she was just devastated when Lisa left her. And Lisa wasn't even gay. You know, she was just
out a few times.
Experimenting thing.
Yeah.
Tracy ends up, of course, working for a Republican congressman and successful, but alone. You get the feeling still. Like, you can't really tell, but
based on her history.
I guess I was thinking about before that. She talks about everyone has that last voiceover, and she said there were no signatures in my yearbook or whatever.
Yeah, she said for somebody who – or did you say it? I'm mixing up. It's like for somebody who was able to win a big election, you think they would have more friends.
I'm
trying to remember how that – if you said that or if she said that, whatever. But she looks at Chris Klein, being surrounded to get his yearbook, sign people's yearbooks. And she's standing there and, she's leaving. She said, I don't feel how you're supposed to feel at the end of high school with what she'd accomplished.
It was sad. Like, there was a sadness to that.
It was a wistfulness. And she said, these are the moments when I miss Dave because of our conversations.
Right.
He really saw her. Like, he got her.
I wonder what he's up to now.
Yeah, and then he's tagging groceries at a –
you know what it was, though?
A Stop and Shop.
No, it was on the trivia. That's actually – it was the hardware store, same hardware store where Kurtwood Smith worked in Citizen Ruth.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was a little insider
thing.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
And he was stamping the stuff that Ruth was huffing.
No
this,
way.
This, like, spray glaze or whatever.
I love that they did that. That's fantastic.
Well, here's another one then. You know how they kept showing, like, little close-ups of the news articles?
Yeah.
If you freeze-framed on one, it said Edwards or whatever. And
the side article?
Yeah, but, sometimes you could – I remember when DVDs had freeze-frame and I would, read.
Oh, I totally
what is that? Because the art department makes that shit.
Yeah.
And it said, by the way, if you're reading this now – and seeing if we really wrote real stuff, you'd be better served to go out and rent Citizen Ruth and watch that.
That'd
be better use of your time than sitting here and reading what the art department is trying to do to fill in the blanks or something like that.
Hysterical.
It was really funny.
I remember in college you could just fill in with Latin words that just kind of repeated.
Well, if you don't close up on it, I guess.
Yeah.
But the sad thing about Tracy, though, like what we were talking about with high school ends for her on a sad note.
Yeah.
She didn't get her yearbook signed. She still didn't have friends. And she thinks college is going to be different.
Right. She hopes to meet her people.
And college is not different.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of like
no.
social people. It's people this, being
it's,
social.
It's called the world.
Yeah.
And like it's sort of like this kid has to have this come to Jesus about how the world is. And she's going to be the one married to her job.
But usually people in college do find their people. In her classes,
true.
She would find her people. And in her major, not necessarily in her dorm.
Maybe, unless she puts everyone off.
Yeah, that's true. But usually you can find some other motivated people to at least like have friendly spars with.
Well, no, that's true. There are other Tracy flicks.
Yeah, of course.
But
even if they
along?
Just parallel play like three-year-olds.
Parallel play. And then the great line from Broderick, what happens when a man loses everything? And it's got the close-up of the limp penis of the Neanderthal or whatever in the Museum of Natural History. What happens when a man loses everything? And again, that's Alexander Payne back then just being like, let's do a close-up of this like limp dick.
Yeah.
Because it was symbolism, you know. That's what he is basically at
that
point.
I didn't really think about that.
But that's when he ends up in New York.
Yeah.
And the ending is perfect. Like, you don't want him to be ruined.
Of course not. But it's funny because he ends up with another kind of vanilla woman.
Yeah.
You know, like, and teaching, like in a vanilla relationship, yes. And he says that, like, museums have volunteers and educators like myself
who pick up where the classroom leaves off or whatever.
Yeah.
We want Mr. M to be okay.
Of course,
it's not like he was a bad guy.
Well,
he made some bad choices.
But you can also see why he made some of his choices, especially with Tracy Flick. She's kind of insufferable.
I know.
Like, you have to be a pretty patient person
to, like,
find—
Well, who's the villain of this movie? Like, that's a big question.
Does there have to be one?
I don't know.
That's what I like about indies. It doesn't have to be so clear-cut. Like, they're all very fallible people.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of bad—
Complexity.
—choices made here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then the ending, you know, he goes to D.C. and it's just so great. The final freeze frame of the thing.
Does he have the moment when he sees her where the,
No.
I don't know why in my mind that happened.
No, he didn't. They didn't do the tribal chant with her. But that's the last freeze frame, though, is when she sort of like, does she see him out of the corner of her eye?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
And the line didn't, the eye line didn't even make it look like,
quite right, was it? But, he starts off that voiceover so well written because he starts off just sort of like magnanimous.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of builds and builds. And he's like, you know, it's fine. It's no big deal. And then he's like, but what's she doing in that limo? Who the fuck does she think she is?
And then he throws his fountain drink at her at the car.
That's so good. And then does the Ferris Bueller
run. And then runs away. Yeah.
And he has that great line too. That's the great thing about America. You can always start over. It's one of the last lines of the movie. I love it. I give it 5 thumbs.
5 thumbs?
It's one of my favorites.
It's pretty great.
And it's been a long time since we'd seen it.
Yeah.
And we laughed a lot last
night. Yes, yes.
And we needed it too.
Yeah.
It's been a little rough.
Yeah.
Around the house lately.
Yeah.
So.
Shit happens.
It was a welcome thing.
Yeah, it was good. Because you asked, you were like, which are we going to do? Election or...
One of
the other ones that we're going to do. And I was like, I need to laugh. Let's watch a lot.
No, it was either this or record with Paul for Virgin Suicides.
Yeah. Oh, right, because I've ingratiated myself into that.
Oh, that's right. Paul's excited.
Yeah, good.
We're going to record somewhere next week.
Great.
Paul and I are.
Oh.
And then you and I and Paul are going to pick that up later.
Great.
I think that's it. I'm trying to think if there was any more. I know at one point he was going to cast either Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise.
Ew.
Yeah. Hanks could have pulled it off.
Hanks, I love.
But he said he was too big at that point. And like, he said Matthew Broderick really just sort of fit.
Well, okay, that goes back to like, you know, I don't know that there had been a ton that he was doing. I have to look at his film career between Ferris and.
Hold on. I know he was in, what was that, Project X?
Oh, God. Okay, I have a story about that. I don't know how I ended up watching that movie.
That is not for you.
No, but I did.
About monkeys torture.
Yeah, so I watched it. So, of course, you can imagine in the middle of it, and I've got a party to go to later on. This was probably like in 9th or 10th grade. I am hysterical to the point where my stepdad asks, do we need to turn this off? Which for some reason I said no, but I basically hyperventilated through that movie. Like, why was that a good idea?
Yeah. So he did Project X right after Ferris Bueller. He did Biloxi Blues, of course. He did Glory, the Civil War film.
Yeah, see, these were all kind of movies that, like...
He did a movie called Out on a Limb. I remember that. He did The Night We Never Met. Remember with Annabella Sciorra?
Vaguely.
That was one of your movies.
No, that wasn't one of my movies.
He did The Freshman with Marlon Brando, the gangster thing. See, you didn't see any of these.
Yeah, see, so for me, it was like, oh, my God, that's Ferris a decade later.
He was the voice of Simba in Lion King? I didn't know that.
I didn't see that either.
Mrs. Parker and the Vicious Circle, The Road to Wellville. You didn't see any of this shit.
I didn't see any of these.
The Cable Guy, Addicted to Love, was right before
Addicted
this,
to Love, yes.
Which is great.
Yes, that I'd seen.
So, yeah, I mean, he was always working.
Yeah.
God, he did Inspector Gadget. After this,
my point was though I didn't see most of those movies, so
no, you
it was
see many of
like
those at all.
Suddenly like an older Ferris.
God, love me some MB.
He's really wonderful.
Talk about a dream guest,
and I love SJP. So, they're
of course,
like my,
they're one of the great couples,
a little magic couple.
They, you'd be really sad if they broke up, huh?
They'd be one of those ones where I was like, it would shoot a spear through my heart.
It would shoot a metal laser through your liver?
Yeah.
What was that?
Eye lasers through my liver. No, that's because, yeah, that is out of anger. This would be out of sadness.
So. Oh, here it is. I wanted to mention this. The original ending was reshot in the novel and in the originally in the movie. It tested poorly. He goes to work at a car dealership, and Tracy comes to buy a car from him. And they have this moment, and she drives him home. He's like, are you trying to like make fun of me or whatever? And they have this talk and she drives him home and he ends up signing her yearbook. Hmm. And everyone was just like, it's way too nice
that's
of
not,
an ending.
No, yeah.
And it was sort of a sweet
too,
ending
yeah,
where
like,
they sort of forgave each other. And Alexander Payne was like, I screwed up.
No.
Like I should have just kept it Payne.
Yeah.
Brought the Payne.
But also like what part – there'd be no – without some like – mitigating circumstances in the middle of that where something happened, like what would draw these two people back to each other to where
yeah, that
there'd be
worked.
Peace?
No, not at all. Thora Birch was playing Tammy Metzler for a little while, then left.
Oh, interesting.
On
she'd
the
be
third
great.
Day.
Huh, I
she
wonder
left
why.
On the third day, said creative differences with Alexander Payne.
She'd have been sad, but she'd have been great in that.
Yeah, but
I can
boy,
see her.
The actress
I know.
Jessica Campbell so
loved
good.
Her.
And apparently Reese Witherspoon wanted to play – or she wasn't sure if she wanted to play Tammy or Tracy at first. Yeah, which is so funny because like
– duh.
She
yeah.
so is Tracy Flick.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know.
Those braces, Tammy's braces really just like
– oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. You got anything else?
I don't believe so.
I think we did a good job here.
Yeah.
What do you want to do next?
I guess Citizen Ruth.
Oh, yeah?
Keep
Go
going back.
Back,
yeah.
Citizen Ruth.
Yeah.
All right. We love that movie.
Love it. We've seen that semi-recently, and it's kind of – it's an interesting time to be discussing it,
it
too.
It is. We'll get to dig into politics and the rights of women.
All the things that
make
me
their
crazy.
Own bodies. All right, everyone. That's it for us. Look out for Emily again in probably another 5 or 6 weeks. We'll get you back in here.
Yeah.
And maybe sooner for Paul's movie for Virgin Suicides.
Yes, I insisted on participating in that one.
And thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Movie Crush is produced, edited, and engineered by Ramsey Yunt. Here in our home studio at Pont City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.